Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Good to hear your voice loud and clear.
Loud and clear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
Excellent. Great.
I think last week I was snuffly.
Last week you were a little bit snuffly.
Yeah, I was suffering. You know, it's not a good thing. With allergies. It's something, I don't know, maybe the fact that it's never going to stop raining in California is somehow making that all better. And, you know, it's just remarkable how good it feels to feel good. I'm a really healthy person and always have been. And I admit I can take it for granted. So I just wake up every morning and... you know, I'm ready to go. And then when I'm not, it's like, wait a minute. wait a minute. What is this?
What's going on here?
I'm not taking it for granted right now. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so the allergies have passed?
Well,
for now.
We never know. But right now, in this moment, they have, and so... there's much to be grateful for.
That's great. That's great. It has been raining a long time here, hasn't it?
You know, I'm a native Californian, and I'm, as I'm fond of pointing out, really old. And I don't remember it ever being like this.
Wow.
Now, maybe that's not true, but this much rain consistently to the middle of May, I don't know. Last week... it rained so hard, and it hailed three times.
Oh my gosh!
In the course of one day. Now this, you know, enough. No, it's actually quite fun, but we keep kidding, you know, that we're in the South because it's warm and it's raining and everything is green and
yeah,
it's fun.
Great. Well, we have a lot of exciting news. I almost don't know where to start. First off, let me say that if you'd like to get in touch with us by email, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. If you have a question that comes up during the week when we're not on the air and you want to get in touch with us, feel free to send us an email there. Sherry, we have a couple of events coming up. Actually, we have more than a couple of events coming up.
We have a lot of events coming up.
We always have a lot of events
coming up. And I know that because I'm going to go get on an airplane in just a few minutes, and so I know about some of them.
Yes. You're going to be in Massachusetts and Pennsylvania in the next few weeks.
Yes. Well, in the next week.
In the next week.
In all of those places.
Yes.
Yeah, this coming weekend at Kripalu in Lenox, Massachusetts, and then on Monday, so that'll be Friday through Sunday, Monday Philadelphia, Tuesday Harrisburg, Wednesday Pittsburgh, and then I get to stay on for four more days to do a retreat in Pittsburgh.
Wonderful.
And then fly home and be here for a couple of days and then go to Santa Cruz, Gateway's Bookstore.
Yes, on Thursday, June 2nd.
Yes, a very, very fun place.
Yes.
And then a little retreat in Felton, which is right next door to Santa Cruz.
Yes.
And then on to Carmel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Nonstop.
Nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
You're busy.
Yeah, having fun.
Great.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to title a book that. I probably told you that. Busier than ever and having more fun.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, there are just so many of these people who do too much, people who are too busy has such a bad reputation. And I was just I was just reading a quote, in fact, for the email class that I'm involved in, the daily email class. And if I can find it, it's something about, well, it's now escaped me. So I'll have to, having precise ideas often leads to a person doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that good?
Having precise ideas often leads to a person doing nothing.
Yeah, and I think, procrastinators who are listening in would certainly see themselves in that.
Uh-huh.
You know, things have to be done a certain way at a certain time, and there's all this pressure, and then it just becomes so stressful, you know, you just have to take a nap.
Uh-huh.
But all of these precise ideas about how life should be, and especially if you combine that with being busy, it can really result in doing nothing. I'm always just happy and grateful that I have the energy to do what there is to do.
Great.
And, you know, I like to stay home. I'm not going to kid you. I'm not excited about going and getting on an airplane and going across the country. But here's the thing I realize. If I stayed here, I wouldn't get to see, you know, 1/1,000th of the people that I see.
Uh-huh.
So that's where they are.
Uh-huh.
It's good to go to them.
Great.
Yeah.
You have big willingness.
Yeah. That was another quote. Zen practice is doing ordinary things willingly and cheerfully.
Yes. Yes. I like that quote a lot. And if you want to sign up for a daily peace quote, go to www.livingcompassion.org.
Yeah. You get a little reminder of that type in your email in-basket every day.
Every day.
And
great.
I don't know about other people, but sometimes the stuff that comes, the emails that I get, are not as uplifting. It's really fun to get something that just, you know, just gives you a moment of,
Yes.
And you can go on.
Yes. Yeah, and a great way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
I look for it every morning when I turn on my computer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun. Of course, you know, we talk about this a lot, the joys of Sangha and support, having a group of people with whom to bring conscious awareness into our lives.
Yeah.
It's very good to have that help and that support and those reminders. And so, you know, you start every day knowing that there's going to be something in there to remind you who you really are and what you're actually about before getting caught up in all the conditioned insanity of life, getting swept away.
You know, yes.
Now remember, this is who you are.
Yes.
This is what you're really about. This is what's important to you. And it's like a little, kind of like a beacon or a rudder. Or I'm sure there's some, you know, wonderful image that goes with that. Kind of something that we're aiming toward. It's we get grounded and centered in that place, and then we sort of shoot for that place all day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Sherry, let me just give a couple of web addresses for people who want more information. You can go to livingcompassion.org, which I just mentioned, and you can also go to sherryhuber.com, sherryhuber.com, and they'll have the whole calendar there and everything you'd want to know about awareness practice.
At least this brand of awareness.
At least this brand of awareness practice.
We have enough to put up there. We can't put up there what everybody else is doing. We're supportive of what they're doing, large, but there's only room for what we're doing because it's kind of a packed schedule.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's what I'm doing, and then, of course, there's what happens at the monastery, and there's what happens in Palo Alto.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of ways to get plugged in.
And I want to highlight just one more event, which is a concert on June 25th in San Jose with some really great spiritual supportive, you were talking about supportive of awareness practice. This music is that.
Oh, it so is. I wish kids could grow up listening to it, you know, little people, because it's so affirming of authentic nature and possibility and all of that sort of thing. And then for, again, you know, I hear from so many people who feel themselves sort of isolated out there. It's like, you know, I'm the only person I know who thinks about these things, or I'm the only person I know who meditates or who wants to. And, you know, you get in the car on the way home from work and you turn on the Splash CD by Trish and Richard, and I can promise you, you're going to get centered in a really fun, pleasant way. Or you come home, and maybe coming home is a rough time because, you know, there's a lot of stress involved in transitioning from work to home, and it's that kind of disoriented, oh, what do I do with myself? And it's a time when a lot of folks will choose to eat a bunch of the wrong stuff or drink a bunch of the wrong stuff.
Uh-huh.
You just pop that music on, and pretty soon you're singing along about opening your heart and joy and bliss and that sort of thing. And son of a gun if you don't start making really good choices for yourself.
Great. Great. That's
and
wonderful.
You didn't mention this, but this concert is free. Yeah, and everybody's invited.
It's Saturday, June 25th. It's in the afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. And if you are coming, we would love to know so that we can save a seat for you. So please send an email to information@livingcompassion.org. Great. Sherry, we have a caller.
You know, if we dink around long enough, somebody's going to say, I have to shut these people up with this weather report and this schedule. I'm going to call and give them something worthwhile to talk about.
Great. I'd like to welcome Lorenzo from San Francisco. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Okay, I have a question. Change can be very stressful.
Yes.
And because, among other things, making choices provokes anxiety. For example, change of bad habits into good habits, or finding a balance between spending the time we spend firefighting on making the changes that can reduce the amount of time we spend firefighting. Change is difficult because it's often needed at a time when a person is not ready. It can bring out the worst in people because, since stress brings out the worst in people, I have a question. How do you remain perky 24/7, maintain a great attitude in spite of the stress we feel inside? You know, I would like to add that to change often requires taking one step backward and two steps forward.
Yes.
And some people have talked about showing compassion in times of change so that we don't come across as too much of a bad attitude. But it doesn't make sense to me, because if we have compassion for current situation, we will not change it. And some people have said they did not sign up for the consequences of thinking in anxious ways and stressful reactions to changes. They said they did not sign up for that, and that's how they deal with changes. So the question is, if change doesn't provoke the anxiety and stress, is that real change?
Uh-huh.
So there are two questions here, basically.
You've got a lot of questions in there, actually, or a lot of interesting points for discussion. So the first thing that I would like to respond to is that change is happening constantly, right? We know that. Everything in the universe is in flux. So in any split second, everything is different. And what we as conditioned human beings do is resist change. So actually, change is not that difficult. It's resisting change that's so difficult. Okay? Now, if say you're a smoker, you smoke cigarettes, okay? And you decide that it's time for you to quit. You might not even want to, but you decide that it's time for you to quit. That kind of change of habit and routine and comfort and identity is going to put stress on the system, right? Is that true?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you know that that's the case, now you can have compassion for the part of you who smokes and who wants to smoke. I mean, that's not hard. You know, why wouldn't a person want to do that? it's a habit, and once you have the habit, you find it relaxing, and your body is addicted to the nicotine and the other things that they helpfully put in it, And so you sort of need it. And okay, so we can have a great deal of compassion and sympathy for a person who, say, has a habit that it's now time to let go. And that sympathy or that compassion doesn't stop our resolve to quit. So if you are that person, you know that this is going to be challenging. This is going to be tricky. So one of the things that I encourage people to do is have a lot of compassion for themselves as they go through that kind of change, as the adjustment period takes place. So you might, during this time, you might be kind of cranky. Now, if you try to pretend that you're not cranky, that's just going to make you crankier. So when you ask how can a person be cheerful all the time, the way a person can be cheerful all the time is to be cheerful about everything that's happening. You with me?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things that that people who are around me a good deal of time know is that I actually enjoy being cranky. When I'm cranky, I just go around letting everybody know I'm cranky and this is what I'm cranky about and blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm not taking myself terribly seriously when that's going on, and as a result, neither does anybody else. But if I were trying to be cheerful or trying to act cheerful, make people think I'm cheerful, but inside I'm really cranky, I'm going to act out in ways that are really unpleasant for me and for everybody else. So to me, the secret to all of this is acceptance. Accepting everything exactly as it is and being present to everything exactly as it is and responding accordingly.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
So when you're cranky, do people find you cranky, like unpleasant to be with?
Well, it depends. You know, if it's somebody who doesn't know me well, then they would be busy projecting whatever they're projecting onto me. But if it's somebody who knows me, then they know, oh, that's just Sherry being cranky. And they don't take it on because I'm being very clear that I know what's happening with me. It's when people don't know what's happening with them, and when they are unconscious, that people tend to respond to them in negative kinds of ways. So can you tell me a change that you're looking at?
Basically, how to be perky 24/7.
Oh, you want to be perky 24/7.
Yeah, I want to be popular, you know. I want to get married.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll be popular with people who want people who are perky 24/7.
Well, you know, I want to be somebody who is part of the solution rather than the problem.
Yes, yeah. So that's my encouragement to you, that you practice being aware of what's going on with you and that you practice acknowledging that as you go around in life and as part of that acknowledgement that you make it clear that you're accepting of how you are. So if you go into work tomorrow and you're having a kind of hard time, you might know that inside that you're struggling, that you're worried, you're anxious, okay? You're anxious about something. And so somebody says, how are you, Lorenzo? And you might respond, you know, I'm great. I'm feeling a little anxious, but I'm actually finding it kind of interesting.
I'm not sure if this works in the business world.
It could. If you have a coworker.
I'm talking more in terms of negotiations with parties. Customers.
Well, then here's my encouragement about that. If that doesn't feel like something that you're ready to try on, okay?
Sure.
Acknowledge to yourself what's going on, and be the person that you are honest with within yourself. Because if you try to deny what's going on, if you try to just act like you're somebody other than what's happening with you,
yep.
I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, I think it's your way is like more like the lesser of the two evil devils.
Well, to me it's not. To me, when I'm with people, what I get is that people are desperate for somebody to be present with them and authentic with them and all right. And if you can be that, I can promise you, people are going to be drawn to you, whether it's in a social situation or a business situation.
Okay. So if somebody say they are always perky all the time, do you think they are lying, huh?
No. I don't know. It's just that perky all the time is not appropriate to the moment. And that can wear thin after a while.
Okay.
So try it out and let us know what happens.
Thank you, boss. You're the best.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lorenzo. You're listening to Open Air with Jared Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to break, and we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I have to tell you, that was really powerful, that concept of being who we are that you were talking about with Lorenzo.
Mm-hmm.
And not pretending about that.
Not pretending about that. When we're pretending, it's because we're identified with a belief that there's something wrong with how we are.
Uh-huh.
And, being identified in some ego state is just never going to give us the life experience that we want to have.
Uh-huh.
But to disidentify, to step back and see this person, what's going on today? Well, I'm a little irritable, or I'm feeling anxious, I'm really worried, I'm upset, I'm, whatever it is. If we can step back and have compassion for that person, not take that person personally,
mm-hmm.
which can sound crazy, can sound a little schizophrenic, can it? How can I not take me personally?
Uh-huh.
But of course, that's the whole point of awareness practice.
Uh-huh.
This little ego, this little illusion of a separate self, this personality, is not who we are.
Uh-huh.
If we think it is, then we have to defend it and hide it and, beat it up and do all sort of trying to make it be the person it's supposed to be, all of this sort of thing. But if you just realize, it's like a little puppet. It's like a little marionette.
Uh-huh.
It's just programmed, a robot. It's programmed to do all of this stuff. And if nobody's there watching or taking care of it, then it'll just go around in the world doing all of this stuff that it's programmed to do. But what we can do is wake up and take care of this poor little robot, take it out of the driver's seat in the automobile of our lives,
yeah.
Take over from conscious, compassionate awareness, and have the life that we know we're capable of. It's not a matter of getting rid of that person. It's just a matter of not leaving an illusion in charge of our lives.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
You know, that's even better. It works. Life is always better when we're conscious. Only egos think that life is probably better when we're unconsciously identified with them.
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's not hard to wake up. Consciousness doesn't take more energy. They're just endless pros and no cons.
No drawbacks.
No drawbacks to a life of consciousness.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Sign me up.
Okay. All right.
We have another caller.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Isha from Cobb, California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi.
Isha.
What my focus is trying to be present when I'm talking to you on the radio because it makes me really nervous.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, but there are all kinds of levels of staying conscious, right? The first one is just kind of when we're sitting somewhere, can we be conscious? And then can we stay conscious when we do something? Then can we stay conscious when we're talking to, when we're listening to somebody? Then can we stay conscious when we're talking to somebody? Now, talking to somebody on the radio—that's a whole, that's a whole next level, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I'm really, I mean, my solar plexus is just buzzing and.
Yeah. And even though it sounds really funny to say this, when you stop and think about it, this is the experience. It's really hard to stay in your body. You know?
Yeah, I was busy rehearsing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Writing things down in case I couldn't think of anything to say.
Yeah, we want to go up into our heads and then just keep going. It's like just get as far away from this situation as possible. Just dive right into unconsciousness as if that were going to make things better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In meditation, I've been the. I listened to Prema, and I've done workshops at the monastery, a few of them, and so right now in meditation, when the thoughts come, and I get taken away. And I label it thinking, then I say, I love you to myself and see if I can drop down and really, really feel that. And this big smile comes up on my face when I do that.
Yeah.
And it's very wonderful.
Yeah, just that, the unconditional quality of that. I mean, you know, if a person wanted to nitpick, an argument could be made that it's not unconditional, but I'm going to go with the it is. So there you are. You're trying to do something, and you have a habit of not doing that thing. You know, you're trying to stay present, stay with the breath as you're meditating, and instead you take off and, you know, follow thoughts out into wherever. And when you come back to consciousness, there is a feeling of fondness and affection for this person who is doing this thing. Yeah?
Well, it has been my habit in the past to say, oh, I'm thinking again. Darn.
Bad person.
But my practice now is to love whatever. I mean, love the thoughts. Love.
Right. Well, and the, you know, to me, it's the person who is doing this. I mean, here's somebody willing to sit down and meditate, willing to try to. We were talking earlier with Lorenzo about change and breaking habits.
Yeah.
Here's somebody who's willing to do this very, very hard thing, of attempting to stay with the breath and stay conscious and present in the moment. And old habits take over. you know, she loses track and whoop, she's gone. To not stay focused on the sincerity of the willingness and the effort is to turn the whole process over to that force that's kind of the antithesis of waking up and ending suffering. So yeah. you can be there. There she is, sitting there on her little cushion, trying so hard, and she's very dear. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
She's very dear. She's very lovable. And, of course, the more you enjoy her, the more you appreciate her, the more you are there with her.
Yeah, yeah, I follow you.
Yeah, and that's the point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Be there.
Yeah.
And of course, learning is unconditional love and acceptance. Right? And it doesn't,
right.
It's not for the person who's doing everything that meets the standards.
Right, but that's where that conditioned mind is that everything has to meet the standards or else it's just not happening.
That's right. And of course, you know that those standards are only there to take you out of the moment, to take you out of the unconditional, out of compassion.
Yeah, it's been such a habit that doing something different is still new. You know, it's still surprising when the grin comes or when things work better when I'm staying present, because most of my life has been in that conditioned mind and in the beginning not even knowing that there was another way.
Oh, exactly. Isn't that just astounding? I was saying to my business partner this morning, we were having a conversation similar to this, and I said, you know, it always makes me appreciate science fiction. I'm not a big fan of science fiction, and I don't know why. It seems like it would be the thing that I liked most to read, because so much of science fiction is sort of like the movie The Matrix.
Uh-huh.
You know, here is this race of people, and they are being controlled and have no idea that they're being controlled.
Right.
I mean, it's not science fiction. It's exactly what's going on. It's the most accurate form of literature. But because we are those people in that mind control, brainwashed place, we call what's happening to us, we don't recognize it, we call it science fiction. It's really astounding. And it is truly miraculous. Whenever a person pops up and goes, whoa, oh my gosh, wow, there's another reality besides the one I've been living in. It's a miracle.
Yeah, and it's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
My life is so much fuller, and I don't spend so much time worrying. And
oh, yeah. And, of course, there's conditioning just trying to push you back under.
Exactly.
You
tell me
that standard. You
that I'm not
that
doing
right.
things right.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did that wrong. There you are thinking again. What's the matter with you? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so here's the next really thrilling thing to get. You know, not to just understand, but to get inside the marrow of your bones. Getting.
Right. I got my pen.
Okay. And that is that every piece of information that conditioned mind gives you is a lie.
Yeah, I've heard you say that. You know, and I've read it in your books. And
yep. Now it's getting it.
Yeah.
So that it's like something that appears. You know, it pops up on the screen, And you see it as blue. I don't actually know what colorblind is, so you just have to forgive me this. But it pops up on the screen as blue, but you're colorblind. And so you know that what you see is as blue is actually red.
Uh-huh.
And so you learn to say, okay, I see blue, but it's really red. Okay, red.
So when conditioned mind comes up and says something, you see it.
You see it as
a lie. That's the blue. That's the blue?
That's right. You see it as a lie. You see it as a lie. You don't fall for it. Instead of now, conditioned mind comes up and says, there you are thinking again. What is the matter with you? Okay, and it can startle you, right? Right.
And I get caught up in it.
That's
and
right.
I,
it kind of grabs you because you still think that it has some worthwhile information for you.
Yeah, maybe I'll miss something. Exactly.
That's right. And one of these days, you're going to get it that, oh, my gosh, it has no information for me. It's just there to distract me so I won't be in the present.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. It's a good day.
Yeah.
Okay, now this talking on the radio isn't so bad, is it?
No, it's not. It's like, yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna practice up with this stuff, and then you're going to dial in again, and we'll have another conversation, and it'll just be pie or cake or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Or whatever it is. Okay, thanks, Isha.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isha. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Another great show, Sherry.
I know. Great people.
Yes. Let me give out the phone number. It's in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. Phone lines are open here, so give us a call. Sherry, I have a number of email questions here.
All right. When we come back, maybe we'll hit some of those if we don't get a caller.
That's right.
Great.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. Our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
It's a good day.
It's a good day. I'd like to welcome Jolie from York, Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, both of you. I wanted to ask a question about, I wonder if you've ever had this experience with anybody where the more they get involved with, I don't know, meditation and Buddhism, the less they want to be around people, because that's the way it's affecting me, and I feel like I'm like this dismal failure because it feels like everything I read is saying, you know, don't, you're not separate, you're, you know, that's ego, and yet I just feel like it's such a drain to be around people and to... More and more, I feel like it's a drain to be around people, and that I just don't like it at all. Any help for me?
I was going to tease you and say, gosh, you're the only person I've ever heard of that happened to, but that wouldn't be very kind, would it? Because part of you might believe me, and then where would we be? I think that that's actually not unusual at all. And I think that there are several components to it. Some of them that we might think of as positive and some that we might think of as not so positive. One, I know for me, when my practice hit that stage, it was because I really wanted to focus. You know, I wanted my attention to turn inward, and it was like we were talking with the previous caller. You know, I couldn't manage to stay present and be around people. It was just too distracting. And it brought up too much stuff. Everything would be happening too fast. Now, before I started practicing awareness, it didn't matter how fast it happened because I wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah. But now I'm there, and it feels like everything is, you know, it's a, well, anyway, one of those images from, you know, things being on the wrong speed. Everything was going really, really, really fast, and I couldn't keep up. And so it was distressing to me. And then the other part of it that wasn't as much fun to look at is that I became aware of things about myself that didn't reflect me the way I wanted to be reflected. Okay? So I started seeing my own unconsciousness and my own insensitivity and rudeness and cruelty and, you know, all sorts of things about myself that I always thought other people were, but I wasn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Any of those fit with you?
All of that.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's enough to deal with my own sort of garbage. And then it's like, oh, do I have to look at yours reflecting more of me than, you know, I can stand already?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of rugged, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my encouragement to you is, you know, take your time. There's no, you know, it's not a speed contest. If that's what feels so right now, well, then that's explore that place. And the odds are very good it's going to turn into something else. Now, the one thing I would encourage you with, though, is not to become a hermit. Okay.
Oh, I'm definitely ground zero hermit.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then I'm going to encourage you not to be that. And so the way around that is have as much time for yourself as you can, but be around people in an awareness practice way. So you can go to retreats. You know, you can go to workshops. You can go to places that challenge you to take another step in your awareness practice without needing to just go down to the local coffee shop and hang out and chat with folks.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. And one other quick thing is I can never get your April 12th show. Every time I call it up out of the archives, I get an error message. So I'm wondering if you happen to know, does anybody else have that problem, or is it
we're working on it.
Oh, okay. It sounds like Michael's on it, and maybe you could give him a little email, and then
it's in process.
Pardon me?
It's in process.
Okay, and then when it gets fixed, they can let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. You're so kind to have this show, and I thank you again.
Well, you're just as welcome as can be. I hope to see you at a retreat before long.
Okay, I hope to see you in Harrisburg shortly.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Julie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I have an email here. Dear Sherry, thank you so much for answering my question on April 5th show. You gave me so much to sit with. My Life Belongs to Life was a sobering and uncomfortable awakening. On some level, I feel like a petulant child. There is that part of me that doesn't want my life to belong to life. I want to control my life and know what happens and make sure that I'm going to be okay and have the life I want for as long as I want. But I'm not in control here, am I? And I laugh. That's a hard one for me. That lesson was driven home for me back on April 3rd when I miscarried. Just days after writing into you, I lost my baby. Through the whole devastating and heart-wrenching experience, I realized I had absolutely no control here. There was nothing I could do to stop this or change the course of things. This was out of my hands. Well, that was a month ago. I'm still grieving, and my heart aches for the baby I lost and all the hope and possibilities that were lost as well. At times, I find myself searching for understanding as to why this has happened. I can't possibly know. Only God knows. At times, I'm gripped with the fear that I did something wrong or that there is something wrong with me. At times, I am so fearful that I may never have a baby. And sometimes, I'm just angry that ultimately, this is out of my hands. My partner and I can do our part, and then the rest is up to God. Why do I find that scary and not comforting or a source of peace? From a listener.
Yeah. Well, that's just heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
And you know, that last question is the one that I would like to speak to, and that is, you know, why is a lack of control, the realization, the awareness that we have no control, not comforting to us? It was not comforting, or what was the other in that sentence?
Why do I find that scary and not comforting or a source of peace?
Yeah, it's scary, it's not comforting, and it's not a source of peace. And I would say that the reason that that is the case is that we have so much social conditioning, just out, flat out brainwashing, telling us that we do have control, that we can be in control, and that we should be in control. And if we're not, then there's something wrong with us.
Uh-huh.
And it, as far as I can tell, that's exactly the way it gets placed. Oh, well, you don't have control over your life? Well, you're a flawed individual.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, individually, everybody on this planet gets to a place. Everybody who has ever been born or ever will be born, unless things change, which is possible, is going to find out that it's not true. And, you know, the reason in a culture like ours that we have such a struggle with this is because our lives are so easy.
Uh-huh.
We are outrageously, outrageously privileged. I bet everybody listening to this show would be dead today if they lived in a part of the world that it doesn't have the privilege that we have.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have the ability to have medical care, no matter what happens to you, where you have money available, you can buy things, you go places, you do things. You know, probably a lot of people listening in, if they wanted to start their own business, they could do that. If they wanted to go back to school and get another degree, they could do that. If they wanted to pick up and move across country, they could do that.
Yeah.
Okay? So it seems there an illusion is created, and then add all of the commercials selling you the belief that with enough products, with enough insurance, with enough whatever it is, you can have, do, be anything you choose. It's a rough moment when we realize it's just not true. That most of the time, for people like us, things go the way we would like them to. An awful lot goes the way we would like it to. It goes the way we would like it to in such a way that we don't even notice it. We don't notice how fortunate we are to have a roof over our heads, to have things around us that we like, to have a car that we can get in and drive around, to have a bike that we can get on and ride around for the pleasure of it. Okay, that we have bodies that for the most part work. You know, you can go and do. You have your health. You have food to eat every day. Not only do you have food to eat every day, but you have what you want to eat. I mean, we are people who can stand there and say, what do you want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Make a decision and go get it.
Yes.
This is all contributing to that illusion of power and control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then suddenly, you know, we get a diagnosis, or somebody close to us dies, or, you know, the economy takes a downturn and we're wiped out financially, or whatever. And it just, it's, there's almost nowhere to go with it except this is wrong.
Yes.
And it's not. It's just that we were lulled into this false belief system about how life is. And suddenly, we get, we wake up from it.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, very, very painful.
Yes.
As the writer makes so clear.
Yes.
It's just, it's heartbreaking.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, in religious circles, of course, we always encourage awareness of how blessed we are,
yes,
awareness of how fleeting this life is,
yes,
how quickly it could all be over.
Yes.
To say thank you every moment for all that we have been given, and not to expect that anything is going to go any particular way.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Not assuming anything.
Not assuming. Yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, for the writer for all of us, when we find ourselves in that kind of position, to just bring all the sympathy and understanding and care and compassion to that person suffering that tremendous loss and disappointment that we can find. And
yes,
then, of course, my encouragement always, when we find that level of sympathy and compassion, let's just extend it to one another, because
uh-huh,
sooner or later, we're all going to face that loss and disappointment.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that, Sherry.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for a great show. And I have good news for Jolie and everyone else who's been trying to listen to April 12th. It's been fixed.
It's up and running?
It's been fixed. It's
oh,
all set.
Oh, yay.
So go click away. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Talk to you soon, Michael.
Thank you.
Sherry.
Bye.
Bye.